reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, "Surely it is not I, Lord." He said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." He answered, "You have said so." The Gospel of the Lord. What are you willing to give me if I betray Jesus to you? I've always wondered what would have been Judas's response if, rather than 30 pieces of silver, the high priest gave him one shekel. Would it have been enough? St. Paul writes in one of his letters that the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. And once we set a price, once we start hungering after things other than God, we're capable of doing any evil things. Judas didn't realize that he was setting Jesus up and selling him out, that Jesus would be slaughtered. He thought that he was betraying him in a small little way. They'd arrest him, they'd come and interview him. They wanted to sort of take him a little bit out of the picture. Judas didn't know everything that he was doing. And that's why when he saw that they had condemned him to death, he had remorse. He didn't repent, he had remorse, and he threw the money back. Because for him, he wasn't going to take the 30 pieces of silver if it would lead to Jesus' death. He just wanted to betray him in a smaller way. I tell the very illustrative joke often, which I'll sanitize this morning because of the presence of some of God's little ones, when the lady of the evening is propositioned by a man who says, "Would you do it with me for $1 million? She thinks about it for a little bit, and she thinks about the $1 million, and okay, for $1 million, I will do it. And then after they've sinned together, he gives her $5. She says, "What type of woman do you think that I am?" And the man says, "We've already determined that. Now we're just haggling over the price." So the question for all of us is, would we have a price to betray the Lord Jesus? Would we have any price? If somebody could bribe us $1 million to miss a Sunday Mass or a holy day of obligation, would we do it? Could somebody pay us $1 billion to testify falsely against somebody else or to say he was with me when that crime was occurring and give a false alibi. Would we do that for $1 billion? Would we cut corners at work and do something totally dishonest in order to keep our job? These are the questions. None of us buy that, of course, just like Judas, would really believe that by doing that deed, we're leading to Jesus' crucifixion. If we're an outright choice between Jesus' crucifixion and saving our job, I think few of us would say, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Thanks be to God. But like Judas, some of the times, they're just going to arrest him. They might rough him up a little bit. But I obviously don't want him killed. That's not what I'm intending. But what are we willing to do, and what is our price for the Lord? What ought our price be? That Jesus is truly priceless. That he is the pearl of great price, the treasure buried in a field, worth selling everything else we have to obtain. That if it were to come down between Jesus, crucified and humbled on this side, and the title to the entire earth on the other, that we would recognize that this is where we want to be. This is one of the great secrets of the Christian life. The secret that made the martyrs faithful all the way to the end, that they wouldn't sacrifice Jesus for anything. They wouldn't take even a tiny little pinch of incense and go before a series of charcoals in front of a marble statue of one of the pagan gods and just drop the incense in. That would have been all they needed to do to save themselves from being tortured and executed for the faith. But they wouldn't even take that pinch of incense and put it there. Ordinary people just like us, priests, lay faithful, consecrated virgins, etc. This is the secret. Judas, however, despite the Lord's many attempts to call on his freedom and to get him to respond well, never did. Jesus in this dialogue, amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me. As I mentioned a couple days ago, he could have said all of you will betray me tonight, but he wanted everyone to examine his own conscience. The 11 started to get deeply distressed over the fact that Jesus would be betrayed, period, but not really thinking themselves capable of it, but nevertheless they asked, surely it's not I, Lord. And notice that vocative, which is really important. Surely it is not I, Lord. They knew they were talking to the Lord, not just anybody else. Jesus said, he who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. And every single one of them over the course of that night had dipped their hand in the dish with the Lord, which, as I was mentioning yesterday, is a sign of a covenantal bond. Every single one had. But there was someone who was going to do it in a different way. Then Judas said, surely it is not I, Rabbi. Didn't want to call him Lord because he probably didn't believe. Just called him teacher, master, teacher. You've taught some truths. But you're not Lord, you're not King, you're not someone who demands all my affections. I'll take some of your teachings and apply them, the ones that make sense to me, the ones that I like, but I'm not going to relate to you as you really are, Lord. Jesus had said, it's one of the saddest lines in sacred scripture, the Son of Man indeed goes. As it is written of him, he was, according to all the prophecies in the Old Testament, going to go the way of the suffering servant about whom we heard in today's first reading. It was going to happen no matter what. But speaking about Judas with deep sadness, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born. Jesus wasn't saying, I'm going to execute punishment on you, Judas, which is the way sometimes people hear. But Jesus, just as he foresaw his own death, also foresaw Judas's death. And the saddest thing of all would be before Jesus died on the cross, Judas would be hanging by a rope from a tree. That he wouldn't come back to the Lord, that he wouldn't use his opportunity and his freedom to come back to Jesus and simply say, I am so sorry. What have I done, Jesus? He threw the money on the temple floor, but he didn't have the relationship with the teacher, with the rabbi, with the master, to know that Jesus would be praying for him on the cross, Father, forgive him, because he didn't know what he was doing. So here we come on the cusp of the three most important days ever. And in the first reading today, speaking about Jesus, the prophet Isaiah says, the Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I may know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. We may be weary as we go into the Triduum, but Jesus wants to speak that word to rouse us up. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear, and the Lord has opened up our ears to hear his word anew this morning. Jesus didn't rebel. He didn't turn back. He gave his back to those who beat him, his cheeks to those who plucked his beard. He didn't shield his face from the buffets and the spitting. And he says at the end, see, the Lord God is my help. Was his father who helped him throughout these days, and the same father wants us to open our ears and our mouths and our hearts to receive that divine help so that we might be assimilated into Christ as the whole mystical body, head and members, enter into the Passion.